Please rise for the processional hymn, hymn number 742, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. You may be seated.
Color guard attention. Will the audience please stand? Hand salute. Color guard forward march. Color guard, halt. Post the colors. Please follow me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Ready, two. Audience, please be seated. Color guard dismissed.
We'll continue our service with a brief order for confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk into your ways. To the glory of your holy name, amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together in Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. Please rise. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all, and also with you. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. The hymn of praise is hymn number 677, This Little Light of Mine. The Lord be with you. Also with you. Say the prayer of the day together. Almighty and ever-living God, increase in us the gifts of faith, hope, and love, and that we may obtain what you promise. Make us love what you command through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
First reading is from the book of Jeremiah. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I knew you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, Ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy. But the Lord said to me, Do not say I am only a boy, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. The word of the Lord. Our psalm today is from Psalm 71. We will read it responsively. In you, O Lord, I take refuge.
Let me never be put to shame.
In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me.
Incline your ear to me and save me.
Be to me a rock of refuge. Rescue me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked.
From the grasp of the unjust and cruel.
For you, O Lord, are my hope.
My trust, O Lord, from my youth.
From my birth, I have leaned upon you.
My protector since my mother's womb.
My praise is continually of you. The second reading comes from the first book of Corinthians. If I speak in the tongues of humans and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable. It keeps no record of wrongs. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. Then I became an adult. I put an end to childish ways. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. But then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love remain. These three, and the greatest of these is love. The word of the Lord. The gospel for today, the fourth Sunday after Epiphany, is from the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Then he began to say to them, Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Doubtless, if you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself,' and you will say, 'Do here also in your hometown the things that we have heard and you did in Capernaum.'" He said, "Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up in 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many with a skin disease in Israel in the time of the prophet Elijah, and none of them was cleansed except Nahum the Syrian." When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated.
I've discovered that if you invite people to church, sometimes they come. So I'm throwing that out as a, you know, let's start inviting. So today's sermon is based on today's gospel and taken from several ministers' notes and sermons. This is part two of the sermon I began last week. A friend of mine asked me what the sermon was about, and I said, "Oh, you know, it was when Jesus went home, taught in the synagogue, and ticked everyone off, so they tried to kill him." Here's a quick review of last week, in case you weren't here. Jesus goes home, stands in front of his congregation. An attendant hands him a scroll. He unrolls it and locates the day's text, a combination of Isaiah 58, and then reads aloud. Then Jesus goes and sits in the customary chair to teach. The congregation is amazed and proud that their hometown boy is returning, and they're hoping that he will heal and benefit family and friends first, right? So instead of doing miracles or incredible acts, he tells them two quick stories. He reminds them of Elisha and Elijah. There was a famine in Israel, no rain for 3.5 years. God sent Elijah to feed a Gentile woman during the famine. The second time, he tells of Elisha, who came during a time of leprosy in the great land of Israel. Again, he did not heal. Instead, he healed a Gentile army commander from Syria. Are we starting to get it now? He's telling them that not only he will not be doing any healing among them, but he's headed into Gentile country, where he will do incredible acts and miraculous deeds. Jesus is speaking a truth so outrageous, so unsettling, that his hometown, neighborhood, and friends want to throw him off a cliff. Barbara Brown Taylor tells of asking her class what they thought about this section in the gospel. One woman said, "The first thing I thought of is who in my life has told me a truth so clear that I wanted to kill them for it." Isn't that exactly what happened in the National Cathedral when the bishop said, "We have gathered this morning to pray for unity as a nation, not for agreement, political or otherwise, but for a kind of unity that fosters community across diversity and division, unity that serves the common good." And she ended by asking the president for mercy. By the time she finished, there were many calling for her resignation and worse. We didn't like her singling out our president. We felt it showed lack of respect. Right message, wrong place, or wrong message, period. Dietrich Bonhoeffer preached against the Nazis during World War II. He was later arrested and executed 2 weeks before the war ended. Nelson Mandela opposed apartheid and was jailed 27 years. Martin Luther King fought for civil rights and was jailed and beaten many times and finally assassinated. All were preaching a message of love and acceptance. Perhaps the easiest way to ignore the message is to focus on the messenger. When people agree with our thoughts and beliefs, we speak highly of them. But when they do not think or speak or act as we want them, we become angered and enraged. And that's exactly what happened to the people in Nazareth. If we are honest with ourselves, that's what we do too. I want God to favor us and to oppose them. I want Jesus to do and act the way I want and believe. And what's more, I want you to think and feel just as I do. And then Jesus will love you too. I read that when we get angry, we don't have to look at ourselves. What we see most wrong in others is usually what's wrong with ourselves. We get angry when our privilege is threatened, and behind that anger is a broken heart. The people of Nazareth that day were brokenhearted. Jesus was passing over them, so they became angry. And who here doesn't know what a broken heart feels like? What if the only thing between us being passed over or not is naming and recognizing our broken hearts? I don't know what could happen, but it could begin a different conversation. It could change the way we see ourselves and others, and it just might open doors to a new way forward. Because regardless of who we are or where we're from, regardless of what we believe in about God, our country, or politics, regardless of our presumed privilege or who we see right or wrong, there is one thing that we all have in common, one thing that unites us all. It is that we all hurt, and Jesus knows that. The poet Warsan Shire names this universal hurt in the last third of her poem, What They Did Last Night. Later that night, I held an atlas on my lap. I ran my fingers across the whole world and whispered, "Where does it hurt?" It answered, "Everywhere, everywhere, everywhere." Amen.
Our hymn of the day is hymn number 755, Jesus Save Me. Please rise for the confession of faith, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We will continue with the prayers of the church. With the Spirit of Christ shining upon us, let us boldly pray for the church, the world, and all of creation. God of eternal wisdom, we pray for your church, which is being transformed by your word. Bless the church with your wisdom and guidance. Let us notice and take part in the new thing you are doing. God of grace, hear our prayer. Your creation sustains us and all living creatures. Grant us humility to acknowledge the ways we bring harm to the earth. Grant us courage to make effective change so that all lands and living things prosper. God of grace, hear our prayer. Embolden leaders of nations, corporations, and all in authority that they lovingly tend those in their charge. Help them to respond to all who cry out in need. God of grace, hear our prayer. Provide for those whose hunger runs deep due to the isolation, loneliness, or illness. Send your spirit so that all are filled with your presence and experience welcome from their communities. God of grace, hear our prayer. We pray for the young people in our congregations. May their voices be celebrated. Give youth a place of honor among us. God of grace, hear our prayer. We remember those who have gone before us. Let their faithful example continue to bear witness to us all. God of grace, hear our prayer. We entrust our prayers to you, O God, in the sure and certain hope that your promise is revealed among the people. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you all.
And also with you.
Please join in the prayer our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. Some of you kids know what's now. Come on, I see your faces. Come on, Brody, I see you're putting your foot up. Get up here. Any kids? No, Charlie, don't die. Nobody else? Okay, Maddie, yeah, thanks. Right here, girl. Okay, what are we talking about up here? Come on, sis. The Ten Commandments, yeah. We don't have Quincy, so we'll get through this a little easier today. So, what's the first commandment? I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. Right? What's it mean? Don't worship anybody but God. Not your favorite team, buddy. You worship God, okay? All right. What's the second one? Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Don't use God's name as a cuss word. Okay? Number three, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. What does that mean?
Don't go to church on other days of the week.
No, we go to church, but don't forget to go to church, right? Don't forget to go to church on that Sabbath day. But don't go do other things till you worship, right? Okay, number four. This is yours. Come on. Honor your father and your mother and just for the fun of killing stuff, right? Only if we need to eat them. Number 6, thou shalt not commit adultery. Number 7, thou shalt not steal. How's the best way to get what you want?
By asking.
Ask or get a job. Or get a job and pay for it, right? Yeah. Ask, don't just steal it, but get a job and pay for it if you want something. That brings us to number 8. Thou shalt not bear false witness. What does that mean? It's kind of some weird words, isn't it? Thanks. Don't lie. Yeah, don't lie about your neighbor, right? Don't lie about something. Now, last week, Quincy knocked Charlie off, right? She said, Charlie always lies about me and mom and dad. That's not a good idea, but she knew what lying was about, right? Okay. Now we're to number 9 and 10. And I'm going to group them all together today, and then we'll review it all again next week. But 9 and 10 says, thou shalt not covet. What does covet mean? It's a big word. It means thou shalt not want. And it's okay to want stuff, but is it okay to try to take stuff? So number 9 is thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. You can want a house like your neighbor, but should we go get? Should we? No, let's get our own, right? All right. And the same goes with number 10. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's manservant nor thy maidservant. That means don't go try to hire your neighbor's hired man, right? Don't go steal that hired man. Hired men are few and far between, a good one especially. And don't covet thy neighbor's ox. I don't know if my neighbor even has an ox. Or his cattle, or anything else that is your neighbor's. Okay? So 9 and 10 are all about not coveting, which it means you're trying to cheat them out of what's theirs. Go get your own.
Well, what if their animals try and cheat over ours?
What if they try, then they're committing the sin, right?
Yeah, their animals are actually trying to live in our ground.
Their animals trying to come to your house, maybe to see how good you take care of them. Probably, all right.
My neighbor's dogs.
Your neighbor's dogs keep coming over you. Yeah. All right, thanks for coming, guys. I've lost the announcements. That doesn't mean we're not. Oh, here they are. Not lost. Welcome to worship at St. John's Lutheran Church, American Falls, Idaho, this morning. Today in the church year, it is the fourth Sunday after Epiphany. Especially welcome to all of you who are visiting here with us today in person, and to those who are worshiping with us by listening to the radio station or the internet broadcast. Happy birthday today to Josh Saveson. Happy birthday this week to Gary Gehring, Cash Rabin, Shanice Allen, Cole Bethke, and Eric Boomer. Happy anniversary this week to Mike and Diane Bites. Does anybody have any other announcements? Okay, here I am. You didn't know you were in for a double sermon this week, did you? So, last week we suffered a huge loss, and it was to us, but it was to a program that we're pretty near and dear to. The Senior Citizen Center delivers Meals on Wheels to community members, people who are happy to see me knock on their door. Most people aren't, but when they see me, I might be one of only 3 people that they see during the week. And now, because they used to go by churches, so Monday was this church, Wednesday was this church, Friday was our turn. Chuck and Sharon did Meals on Wheels for over 20 years. I've been doing it for over 25 years. And we now need some help to get meals to those people. Now, I understand that government's going after some programs that they call entitlement programs. I'm not sure that when I'm 90, I won't know, but maybe, who knows, that it's an entitlement to have a meal and a smiling face. So if anybody is willing to help on Fridays deliver meals, let me know. You don't have to commit to 25 years. I do it because I know those people need me to bring those meals to their doors, to check on them, to make sure they haven't been lying on the floor since Wednesday, some of them. So if anybody wants to help, let us know. We'll continue until the program ends, if it does. Okay, offering will be collected at this time. Please rise for the offering hymn, hymn number 182, Let the Vineyards Be Fruitful, Lord. Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love. Through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. And now the benediction. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Please join us now in the recessional hymn and then remain seated or remain standing for the flag ceremony following the hymn.
the guard assemble? Will the audience please stand? Hand salute. Retrieve the colors. Ready, two. Forward march. Ready, two. Ready, two. The audience, please be seated.
Go in peace and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.